Look to a scripture this morning as we turn to Ephesians today, chapter number 6. And as I thought about, looking at that Scotland and steeped into tradition of years, and then you got Livingstone and others serving the Lord on fire for the Lord, and to see the streets and all, and think about the people, and an opportunity to give out the Word of God and put it into the hands of the boxes of people that can put it into the hands of the Word of God. And I thought about America, you know, look where we are today, somewhat steeped in tradition, if you're not careful, steeped into religion. And we need to be on fire for the Lord. We need to get back to the things of God, to the important things of His Word, and because there are people who need to know the Lord. And they know about everything else, if you would, but thinking about the work of the Lord. I'd like for us to look in Ephesians chapter 6 today. I want to look at verse number 10 in particular. At this point, I'm not going to go into the whole armor of God, but I want us to see this, and Lord willing, we'll go into this. Paul has, we've seen in the last few weeks how the Apostle Paul has dealt with the matter of the home, the husband and the wife. We talked about the children being obedient to the parents. We talked about the workplace, the employee, the employer. And then we find in verse number 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Think with me just a moment as the Apostle Paul is encouraging the believers in Ephesus with these words. He's writing, of course, while he's in prison, and he's encouraging them to stand fast in their faith. In this particular letter, Paul has written concerning the believer how they were prior to salvation, the letter goes, and then he talks about who they are now in Christ. And then he leaves, he's kind of moving toward the end of his letter in the conclusion, and he says in verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." And folks, this is where we are today. We need to be strong in the Lord. What does that mean, being strong in the Lord? Well, when we think about strength and power, you and I within our body, we have this. We have the ability, if we're not handicapped. And again, there are those who are handicapped who are very strong with particular, maybe have lost a limb or so in an accident or through military service, but they have increased the strength in what they have. And this is kind of what he's telling us to do. Be strong in the Lord. And how do we do that? Well, we, of course, exercise our heart and mind through the things of God. But then we take a stand, and we stand up for what we believe is right for God, and we go forward with that. He said, be strong in the Lord. I'm going to go back to chapter 1 just a moment, and what Paul said to us there. In verse number 16, he says, "He ceased not to give thanks to God, making mention of these believers." And he's praising the Lord that God may give them wisdom and understanding, revelation in verse number 17. He says in verse 18, "The eyes of understanding being enlightened." In other words, praying that God will open their eyes to what truth is so that they can see. And then verse 19, he says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward?" He wants them to see and to understand God's power that's to usward. And he goes on to state how that God raised the Lord Jesus from the tomb in verse 20. How that power did that. What kind of a power is that? Well, this working of the Holy Spirit in the world today, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's in the world working today, but he needs someone to work through. And it's good to see that young people are hearing the call of God. It's not like the Holy Spirit's just going to do. He's going to work through people. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter number 9, he is converted. Now he is a Old Testament believer. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees, meaning he understands the Old Testament with a greater understanding than a lot of people. But yet when he's converted, he grows in strength. That's what the scripture says, and I'll read that for you in Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 22. It talks about what took place with him. It said, Paul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews. How did he increase in strength? Was he building his body, working out with iron, working out with walking, running, jogging? What was he doing? No, he was taking what he knew the Word of God to say, and he was analyzing these things, and he was putting them into an order. I want us to think about that just a moment. The Holy Spirit and what God does, we've seen, God does everything decently and in order. So he starts off earlier, the Apostle Paul did. He started off with the home. He said the husband and the wife. Husband is to be the head of the wife. The wife is to submit to the husband in authority to the Lord who is in over all of this. And this is how the order works. Then the children would be obedient to the parent. Then the worker is to be obedient to the employer, and the employer is to be obedient to the worker according to God. So he has everything in order, and when we get this order established, then we can grow in strength, and now we understand what we need to do. Folks, we're living in a climate and a culture today that's waning or going away from Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you where we are. You say, well, we're a Christian nation. If we are, where? I mean, that's not to say that there aren't Christians in America, but as a whole, we need to get back to the things of God. We need to stand strong in the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing. Now, as he was getting the understanding of who Jesus Christ was through faith in him and salvation, now he's standing in opposition of fellow men, Pharisees. Paul is doing as Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Remember Peter, who had forsaken the Lord and denied the Lord three times. Jesus restores him and calls him to feed the sheep. And Peter starts out on the day of Pentecost and he's preaching the word of God. And he's saying, and you crucified him. You nailed him to a tree. Here's Paul. I can only imagine he's growing in strength. And this is what we need to do. As a believer, it's wonderful to be saved and be eternal secure in the things of God. But he needs someone to stand up for what's right, understanding, knowing what the scripture says, and not being afraid to tell someone, you're going to die. And if you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell. You're going to be separated from God. You're going to be separated from other family members that are saved. And people need to hear this. I saw the man on the slide there. First message he'd ever preached, right? This guy's preaching. He's preaching the cross. And it doesn't matter whether it's 1,000 people or two. What matters is you stand up for what's right in the face of opposition. By the way, I titled the message today, A Call and a Cause to Action. There's a call to action, but there's a cause. See, we're waning or going away from the things of God when we need to be coming closer to the Lord. David said back in 1 Samuel, is that, remember, he went to check on his brothers who were in the army of Israel under King Saul at the time. And here's this Philistine that comes out, and he's cursing the God of Israel. And David happens to be there, and he hears the voice of this. And of course, his elder brother, criticized him for that, for what David said. But David asked the question, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause today for you and I to stand up in the opposition of Christianity? Is there not a cause for us to stand strong in our faith? This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. That's not what you and I can muster up in our flesh, but it's what the Holy Spirit can do in and through us. You can take a young person, a child that is saved. They have the understanding from the Lord, and they have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they'll stand up for truth. Whereas the older they get, if you're not careful, someone say, well, they're going through the teen years. What changes about the Holy Spirit of God? You can stand strong in the Lord in the face of your peers. It doesn't matter who you are. And it's not only about the teens and the young people. What about the older people? Sometimes we talk about Christians that have been Christians. By the way, the strength of the Lord doesn't really matter about the age of a person. As I said, sometimes there are young people, young in faith, let's put it that way. Doesn't matter what the age is. Maybe they in the upper age, doesn't matter, but they're young in their faith, but they're strong in their faith. And then you've got a person who's been a Christian for years, and they're weak in their faith. What's the difference? The difference is taking and staying with it, applying it, and using it. And this is what Paul's final request is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, in His strength. Standing up in the face of opposition in the strength of the Lord. God will give the strength to do that. If we will seek the Lord, God is looking. He's looking for men, and I say that. He's looking for Christians. I'm going to use another text found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Paul again writing says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. And then he makes this statement. He said, quit you like men, be strong. That word that he says quit is he's saying men act like men. The Greek word means to demonstrate. Quit, he said, you like men, be strong. In other words, it's time for Christians to stand up and act like Christians. If again this nation is a Christian nation, why have we descended into the realms of sin and the chaos that we see in our own land? Again, a picture. You see what tradition does in time. You look at Scotland, you look at England, you look at a place where great yesteryear revivals were held, and then America. America, we need to get back to the things of God. We need to stand strong in our faith, stand up for what's right, and this is what he said. He said, watch ye and stand fast. Let all things be done in charity. And yes, we need to love. Love is the motive of this, but we need to be strong in our faith. We need to stand up against the wiles of the devil. This is what he goes on to say in verse 11. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles can be translated to mean the schemes of the devil. See, he's always scheming. But the Greek word is methodia, where we would say method or methodology. See, Satan has a method of doing things. He doesn't just throw it out there. He's thinking. He is scheming. Yes, he is. And he's very smart. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything, but he knows enough. And he can't read our mind, but he can read our actions. Satan takes, if you would, again, thinking about a fisherman who ties on a lure, and he casts it, hoping to get that fish to move. If this doesn't work, he changes. And he's got a box full of schemes, lures, and he throws the right one, and he notices, yep, he's moving. See, he, in a methodical way, Satan schemes, and he is working against each and every individual. Talking about the Christian, this is what Paul's saying: for you and I, believers, finally, brethren, these are believers, be strong in the Lord. The Satan said to say he already has the ones that are lost. He has them. Now, he gets upset, so to speak, when one comes to hear the Word of God, and then they start responding to the Word of God, and then a person is born again, and they're saved, and Satan, he will, as he did with the Lord. He tempted the Lord, didn't he? 40 days and 40 nights. After he had been baptized in the Heavenly Father, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now Satan sets out to attack Christ. He does the same for the believer. Someone said, "Well, you come to Christ and it's easy from here out." No, really, folks, it just begun. Now he wants to attack you. He wants to attack your testimony. He wants to attack anything that you're doing. But as it was with Christ, the Lord was strengthened, and then Satan left him for a season. But he's working, methodically working. See, he deceived Eve. That's what the scripture says. He deceived Eve by questioning the things of God. And then, with Adam, of course, the deception was disobedience. Adam knew what to do, but he disobeyed God. And this is what happens often, is Satan will deceive one who is a believer, and he'll keep a try till you move, and then the disobedience, and we lose our testimony. We lose our strength. And this is what he's saying. We're to stand strong in the Lord. We're to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the methods or the methodology of Satan. It's amazing that how things change in the world. Again, thinking about older places, castles, now homes, and things change, but the tactics never change. You say, "Well, we've got a technology, a world of technology today. We've got the internet. We've got everything at our fingertips, but his tactics are the same. If he can lure you with whatever it is, the bottom line of it is S-I-N, sin. It doesn't matter whether it's in a book that you've read this or whether you're viewing it on the computer. It doesn't matter what the next thing is. It's all back to the same point. How did he get you to move? What is it that has caused this? And we shouldn't put ourselves or allow ourselves to be in a place where that we may lose our testimony or lose our stand for the Lord. And this is why he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Folks, we need to stand strong today in this world. I'm glad to see young people wanting to go on mission trips. I'm glad to see people serving the Lord right here where we are. We've got a mission field within our own community. Within our own community. If it's one person of 10,000, it doesn't matter. It's important to the Lord. And you and I have a work to do right here. So let's think about this as we go into this week ahead. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Again, it's not how strong we are, but how strong are you and I in the Lord. And two, by the way, his word. Thinking about taking in the word of God and being able to tell someone what the Bible says. Just a word in due season. The scripture says, a word in due season, how good is it? How good is it, a word in due season? If you give someone something that has substance to it from the Word of God, you know, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Understanding the work of salvation, being able to express that with someone else and standing up for what's right when the time is there. The Lord will make an opportunity. And because I say that, God is, sometimes we feel like we're alone in what we're doing, but this is, God is working, the Holy Spirit is. He's always working on both ends, folks. You've seen that and you'll see it again. You may say something, but the response is that the Lord has already been there before you and I get there. He's already been making this person or persons, pulling them to a place to where when we give that word, it's what they needed to hear. This is how God works in the Holy Spirit. And so let's stand firm in our faith as we think about these words and go forward. Let's not fall for the wiles of the devil. We know what he wants. His plan hasn't changed. He hates God. He hates mankind. He wants man to fall. As he did with Adam, he failed, but Christ came to redeem. He wants those who have fallen, those that are born into sin, to remain in sin and to join him in the lake of fire one day. But Christ died for all of mankind so that by faith one could be saved and escape the eternal punishment of damnation and have a home and a place throughout all eternity. As I think about that, today we're going to have the Lord's table, and we'll turn there in just a moment and read. But this table that's set before us today is a table that reminds us of the price of our redemption. We think about the blood that was shed as we take the cup, the fruit of the vine that represents. This is only a representation. It doesn't become the blood of Christ when we pray over it or when we take it. It's a representation of the blood of Christ. He said, take the cup. And the cup reminds us, the bread that we're about to take, that bread reminds us of the broken body. Why the broken body? Well, his body was broken for our sins. He was perfect. He had no sin. He knew no sin, but he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. His body was broken for his love for you and for me. And today as we take of that cup and take of the bread, we're reminded of the price of redemption. Our redemption, I would like to say. And I'd like to share some words with you this morning before we come to the table. These words are found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. As we read, as I read from verse 23 and following, Paul again, this one who's challenging us to stand strong in our faith, he wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So we're demonstrating today that Christ died. We're showing that he died and that he died for mankind. And then he goes on to say, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It's the way that we do this today is so important. I'd like to say this just a moment to help you to think about this before we come to the table. See, in this day and age that Paul was writing there to those in Corinth, they had kind of added on the Lord's table, so to speak, onto their meals, this tradition. They would eat and then they would take the bread and the cup. And many of them had been drinking. And they just kind of added it on to the service. And because they were doing it in an unworthily fashion, the way that they were doing it, that word I shared with the pastors and others in India just a few weeks back, unworthily, I said, you understand what an adverb is? And they said, yes. I didn't know what, you know, how their language worked with the English language. And they said, yes, this is an adverb, worthily. It is stressing, if you would, the action of what you're doing. If you do it in a unworthily fashion, the action of it, it's not the noun, it's not the you and I being worthy, we aren't worthy. But we are worthy in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we do it in the wrong manner, in an unworthily manner, he said, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily, that manner of it, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's a strong statement. You can't take this cup and you can't take this bread if you don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. I'm saying that with all sincerity and authority. If you're not saved, please don't do it. Don't worry what your neighbor does or what they think. This is what he said. They were doing it in an unworthily manner. And because of that, he said, they were guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Then he goes on to say in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So this is a personal examination now that you and I must do. We'll examine ourselves in just a moment. And he wants us to come, drink, take the bread, drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, he said, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. See, that's the danger of it. If you don't know about the scripture and you don't understand it, the saved only are supposed to participate in the Lord's table, and they're doing it again with traditions throughout our nation today. Just pass it out, let them have it. There's a danger involved. Let a man examine himself, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then he says in verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That word sleep is a euphemism for death. They have died. There are many who are sick, there are many who are weak, and some have even died for what? Taking the Lord's table in an unworthy fashion. For if we would judge ourselves, he said, we should be, or should not be judged. In other words, let us examine ourselves. Let us judge ourselves. Let us come to the table. He wants us to come, but he wants us to come in the right manner. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together under condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So he wants us to come to the table today. The Lord does. He wants us to be reminded of our sin. He wants us to be reminded of the price of our redemption. He wants us to take the bread. He wants us to take the cup. But he wants us to understand it's for the believer. It's for the one who's saved, the one who's been baptized, the one who's following the Lord. And let's take a moment. Again, none of us are worthy, but in Christ we are. In Jesus Christ, as a child of God, God sees us as sons of God. And he wants us to have our relationship right with him. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Let's take a moment of prayer. Speak to the Lord from your heart. If there's something there that needs to be confessed, do that. Come to the table today with a clean heart and clean hands. Come. You that are saved, he says, come. And those of you that may not be saved, if you're here this morning, Christ died for your sins. He wants you to receive the free gift of eternal life. He wants to save you. You're here today because he drew you here, the Holy Spirit. And you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and life. There's no greater joy than to come to know Christ. I'd love to do that. But today we're at the table. So let's make ourselves ready for the table.